Hey there, everybody. It's Pastor Jeff Jackson with Christ Church of Prescott Valley. I want to say good morning, good afternoon, and maybe good evening, depending on where you're at and when you're listening. But we're glad that you're here. I want to welcome especially our church family at Christ Church of Prescott Valley to the first of, well, who knows how many church at home broadcasts. And we're glad to have you along. I'm sitting here in the auditorium at our church looking out over empty chairs because you're all home. But we're glad you're listening. And I especially want to say hello to anybody else along the way who's listening, maybe somewhere else beyond Prescott Valley, Arizona, or maybe perhaps even here in Prescott Valley. We've learned that these broadcasts, when we're posting our messages online, reach hundreds of people on a monthly basis. So we're glad you're all with us today. It was this week that the dam broke on the coronavirus, and the world was flooded with frightening news. The president declared a national emergency. The World Health Organization declared a global pandemic. Borders closed, travel was restricted, sporting events were canceled, businesses closed. In fact, almost every media report just added fuel to the fire and fanned the flames of fear until it became really a global wildfire. Locally here in Prescott Valley, schools closed, businesses sent workers home, restaurants closed. Our governor called all groups of 10 or more people to cancel their meetings and suspend all gatherings until further notice. And so, earlier this week, our elders here at CCPV decided that we would suspend all of our church gatherings for a minimum of 3 weeks, which would take us up to the week of Easter. And then at that point, the decision would be reevaluated and updated as needed at that time. The current suspension includes Sunday morning services, men's, ladies' life groups, our Monday night Celebrate Recovery ministry, and every other fellowship event, virtually every event that our church would hold. Meetings of leadership will be called as needed, but it's a difficult decision. It's an unprecedented decision, but it's made out of the concern for the health of our church family, especially those of you who've got ongoing or pre-existing health concerns. We want to stop this virus from spreading and do everything we can to return our lives back to normal as soon as possible. Understand that this whole pandemic has had personal impact on people. It's changed our shopping habits, our health and hygiene habits. It's impacted our families in financial ways and maybe jobs. But it's also impacted the church, our church, and literally every other church in the country and many around the world. We've got no meetings, as I said. We're learning to do church and everything about church in a different way. In fact, I've had people ask me, are we going to miss Easter? Well, the reality is we don't know. We may not meet on April 12th on Easter Sunday, but we will not miss Easter because at whatever point we gather again, we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate Easter. We're going to have a big party, and we're looking forward to that. You know, the church at large facing challenges is nothing new. The church through the centuries has faced challenges before. In fact, you look back to the very beginning of the church described in the Bible in the book of Acts. In fact, Acts chapter 8, verse 1, we see a church that was born on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, with 3,000 people. I mean, the church was born as what we would call a mega church, and it grew rapidly from 3,000 to 5,000 to 7,000, and then just great multitudes. Until one of the young leaders of that church was executed. Stephen was stoned to death. And Acts chapter 8, verse 1 says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. and all except the apostles were scattered. Imagine that. Thousands of people used to getting together, and the church was essentially in Jerusalem alone. And yet, at that point, everybody got scattered. And what that tragedy, what that persecution, what that crisis actually prompted was the beginning of the church's great expansion into all the world. And essentially, that's what the church has learned over the years, that challenges can lead to innovation and growth. And here we are this morning, or whenever it is you're listening to this broadcast, we're having church at home and virtual church service. Thank God for technology. Thank God for the internet. You know, we can do this. Although I kind of reflect back to the days, my grandmother, who as a young mom and wife, raised a family on the Great Plains of central Nebraska. And I remember as a young boy, her showing me the old console radio, a huge piece of furniture that sat in her living room. And she described how she and her family would gather around with my mother during the time of depression during the 1930s and listen to the president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and his fireside chats. And I thought about that as I prepared this, and I thought, well, you know, we're having our own fireside chat, so to speak. I'm sharing part of what we're doing here today and the message that will follow. And I'm just so grateful that you're there, gathered around maybe your laptop or your iPad or even just listening on your phone. I'm glad that you're here, that we can be together even though we're scattered and we're apart. One of the things we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks is all the different ways that we can do church even though we're apart. And our website allows us opportunities with a number of features. Of course, we're posting this message as it's recorded. We may be live streaming at some point in the future. We'll let you know more about that. But we'll post message notes right there where you play the message and you can print those off. In fact, it might be a good time right now just to pause the recording and print off a copy of the message notes for today so you can jot down, because there's going to be a number of things you're going to want to write down today. So you've got your message notes there. We're working so that you can submit prayer requests on our website or through email. We'll let you know more about that. And plus, you know, the church and the work of the church goes on, and so we need everybody to continue giving to the ministry of the church. And fortunately, we've already and have for actually over a year now offered our online giving to church people and people beyond our church to give to the ministry of our church. And I want to take a special opportunity right now as we get started today just to encourage you to consider, if you haven't yet, and we've got a number of people who use online giving, but encourage you, especially now that we're in the midst of suspended services for a period of time, our expenses go on. The reality is, as I've talked to leaders, our church may save $100 a month based on the fact that we're not meeting in the building, but all the other expenses of the church are going to continue. And so please consider giving online during this interim time. You can go to our website, click on the web banner, and it'll walk you through the process. If you're just not sure about that, you can always, as you've always done, write a check. Just instead of putting in the offering bag, put it in an envelope and send it to us. Our website's got our church mailing address. So please, if you would, consider continuing your support so we can keep doing what we do even though we're not here on Sundays. Another feature we've got is our Facebook page. We're going to be offering some special things I'll tell you about later on, including what I'm calling daily meds. Scripture prescription meditations. So you can go daily to Facebook and get all of that. We'll be posting music that we're using during the service because we've got some great songs and some great music that'll encourage you. And plus, I'll just be daily posting things, resources, and other encouragement. But our motto through the whole process is going to be, we're going to get through this together. Even though we're scattered, even though we're apart, we're going to get through this. This will pass at some point. We're praying sooner than later. But I just know this, that God's going to be at work in the meantime. Romans 8:28 says, we know that in all things, and that means even in the coronavirus pandemic, God's working for the good. There's lots of bad going on right now. Bad news everywhere you turn. But God's at work, working for good for those who love Him. That's you. That's me. And so, who knows? I'm actually excited about what can happen in this interim time when we're not together. And we're going to have stories to tell when we get back together. But for now, I want to just let you know today's message in a moment is going to be victory over the virus. I've got good news for you today. But at this point, I want to just offer some musical encouragement. In fact, there's a great song sung by the Gateway Church worship team, and it's really the essence of that verse I just read, that in the midst of trouble, God is always at work. He's up to something good.
Over my head, I know that you won't let me down.
that's the kind of good news we need to hear. That even through a pandemic, you know, God's at work and he's up to something good. And only time will tell what that is. But in the meantime, I want to encourage you with a message today in a series that I'm going to launch. I'm calling it Overcomers, because that's what I believe we can be. That's what I want us to be. I don't want us to be victims. I want us to be victors, to overcome and not be overcome. I want us to talk about, over the next several weeks, surviving and thriving through a crisis, because that's where we're at, whether we like it or not. We're in the midst of a crisis. And the question is, not only are we going to survive, a lot of people are asking that question. Am I going to survive this? But I'm wanting everyone to survive, but not only that, but to thrive. So we're going to be talking about how to get through what we're going through. And a verse that really kind of nails it down is Romans 8:37. And Paul writes, in all these things, in all of the stuff that we're going through, all the stuff that the church of the first century endured, he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him, through Christ, who loved us. So today I'm launching into the series with a message I've called Victory Over the Virus. Because I think a lot of people, especially if you're watching the news on a regular basis, you just feel defeated. I just watch the news and at some point I just have to turn it off. I can only absorb so much bad news. But the good news is that we can have victory over the virus. You know, America has faced challenges throughout its history. You go back to the era in the mid-1800s. We fought a civil war and we came through that as a nation was torn apart. We lived in the 1930s, at least some of us maybe, not me, but others, and through a depression, a worldwide and a national depression. We've survived two world wars. This generation survived 9/11, terrorist attacks upon our country. And now here we are, living through a pandemic. A virus unlike anything we faced before, with an impact like we've never seen before. But America's faced challenges, but we got some good news, or at least some hopeful news this week. They've been discussing a drug that may have some potential for therapeutic treatment. In other words, to minimize the impact of the virus. They're hopefully developing a vaccine, and a cure might be over a year away, at least a cure as a vaccine to prevent the virus. But for those who've been infected and inflicted, there's hope. It's a drug, it's an old drug called chloroquine it's offered some promising signs of therapeutic treatment to those who've gotten it to minimize the impact. It's a drug actually that goes way back to, I believe, the 1930s. It was used originally to fight malaria. But it's an old drug that's got a new purpose and a new impact. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, there's another medicine that's been around for actually a lot longer than that, for nearly 2,000 years, that offers new hope for us today. And it's, as you probably guessed, it's God's Word. Because God's Word, as Proverbs says, is medicine for our soul. And I tell you what, I've got some medicine for you today that actually you'll be glad to take. It's from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And it simply says this, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. It's right there in your notes, but let me read it again. In fact, you might want to read it with me. It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. You know, I think we've all seen that spirit of fear running rampant in our country and even in our community. I mean, I've been out to the grocery stores to pick up some things. Fortunately, we're stocked with toilet paper for the time being, but the shelves in grocery stores are barren in places of things that people need, and that causes panic. I mean, I saw images on television of long lines of people lined up for miles waiting to be tested at remote testing sites. And so there's fear and panic running rampant in our country today. But God's called us not to live in a spirit of fear, but a spirit of faith. And what God has already done, what God has already provided 2,000 years ago in His Word, He said, hey, instead of the fear, I have power, love, and self-discipline. In fact, Jesus in John chapter 16, verse 33, when He was talking to His disciples, just literally hours before His arrest and then trial and crucifixion, His death on the cross, He told them, He warned them, kind of like we got some warnings from our leaders about this pandemic that was building and coming. Jesus said to His disciples before all of that unfolded in their lives, He says, I've told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. For in this world you will have trouble. Boy, don't we know that. But take heart, He says, I have overcome the world. Jesus says, I guarantee you, in this world you will have trouble. Don't be surprised. This shouldn't surprise us. But don't live in fear. Live in faith. Don't surrender to the panic. But welcome and embrace the peace of Christ. In fact, I put this in your notes as well. It says, we can have peace in the midst of panic. And that's the bottom line. That's my prayer for you today. And every day moving forward, even in the midst of the crisis, even as we're living through a pandemic and all of the restrictions and panic that brings, we can have peace in the midst of all of the panic. And how do we do that? Well, that's what I want to talk to you about today. The three antidotes to fear and panic. Because, again, the medicine of Scripture today from 2 Timothy 1:7 says we don't have to live in fear because God's given us power, love, and self-discipline. And those are the three things I want to talk about quickly today. Those are the things that are going to alleviate the fear and the panic and give you peace instead. And so, first, let me talk about deploying God's power. That's the first antidote. Deploy God's power. We need to use this very moment right now, where we're at and what's going on, we need to use this as an opportunity to deploy God's power. Because frankly, many people are living overwhelmed by a feeling of powerlessness. I mean, there's just a sense that the world is completely spun out of control. And in fact, Paul kind of relates to that in Philippians 4, verse 12, 13 there in your notes. It says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. Paul says, I know good times and I've known bad times. I've known it all. But he says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. He says, I've learned how to deal with all of this and how, for I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. We need to lock into that truth this morning or whenever you're hearing this. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. In fact, read that with me one more time. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. You know, I'm learning, and I knew this before, but I hear a lot more discussion about this right now, that our government has what they call a strategic reserve. It's a storage stockpile. It's spread all across the country in different places of vital resources that may be needed in emergency. And, of course, this is an emergency. And so our government has been drawing on stockpiles of strategic vital resources like oil and gas and food and water. There's some medicine and medical supplies. But they're all kept for emergencies, for crises in such a time as this when the government can call upon those and use those. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, God has His own strategic reserves for us of courage, faith, hope, love, joy, peace, and so much more. And what I want to encourage you to do this morning is, just as our government is right now, calling upon these reserves. Hey, we need more food. We need more water. We've got to have medicine. We need medical supplies. What do you need today? In fact, I left some space there for you to just jot down in the notes today some thoughts about ways that you need God's strength and His power right now. What is it from God's strategic reserve that you need? You need courage. You need faith. You need some hope. You need a little peace, or maybe you need a lot of peace. Send an extra load or a pallet of peace. So think about what you need today. And you can pray about that in just a few moments with me. I like what Ephesians 3:16 says. Paul's prayer is really my prayer for you as well. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. In other words, He said, I've got power for you, but it's not the kind of power that blows things up and blow things apart, but it's the kind of power that holds things together. He says, I've got power for your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So that's the first thing. We've got an antidote. Let's take it. Deploy God's power, His strategic reserves in your life. And then there's a second thing that gives us victory over the virus, and that's to demonstrate God's love. God's love is the second thing He's given us, as Timothy said. And what I really encourage and call upon all of us to do is to use this moment as an opportunity to demonstrate God's love. Because frankly, folks, there's a real shortage of love in our world. If you've been out at all, you've seen it. Tempers are short. People are selfish. I mean, how many rolls of toilet paper does one person need, really? You know, we need to really start thinking differently. Stop looking out so much for ourselves. I mean, we need to take care of our families and have what we need. But what about looking out for each other? You know, the Beatles, band of my generation, had a song they sang, I get by with a little help from my friends. You know, folks, that's not such a bad philosophy. It's a pretty good song. And Galatians 6 says it this way, therefore, as we have opportunity, and friends, now is the opportunity, let us do good to all people. Man, if we could just do that this week, what a difference our community and our country and our world would be in next week. If we could just do good to everybody we meet, he says, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. But, you know, we just start. Start where you're at. Do good. It's like this week. Monday, I'd gone to the grocery store to pick up literally a couple of things. I didn't even have a long list, but no milk, no eggs. And so I bought some other things just in case I need those. And I got behind a self-checkout line behind a young single mom who was checking out groceries and holding, it couldn't be more than a 3-4-month-old baby in her arms. And as she was checking out, and I was standing there patiently waiting for her to finish scanning her things so I could finish and go with mine. And as I was standing there watching her, and she reminded me, frankly, of my daughter. She was about the same age. In fact, there was some resemblance. And then something spoke to my heart, just very clearly. It said, pay for her groceries. She didn't have a whole lot. She, like many others, didn't find the things she was probably looking for, but she had some things she needed. And so I just stepped forward, kept my social distance, and I said, excuse me, but would you let me pay for your groceries? And hardly sooner than those words came out of my mouth that her eyes welled up in tears. And she says, really? Would you do that for me? And I said, sure, I said, you know, when you finish scanning, I'll just scan mine and I'll just pay for the whole thing. And as I started to load my stuff onto the scales and scan, she said, you don't know how much I appreciate this. She said, just a couple hours ago, I left work. I'm a waitress at a restaurant here in town, in Prescott Valley. And she said, my supervisor, when I was leaving my shift, told me, you don't need to report back until further notice. We won't need you. Clearly, the restaurant's business is plummeted except for carry out or drive through, and her services weren't needed. And she said, I have $30, and that's all I have until I get my last paycheck. And I thought, who knows what that meant to that young gal, but I know what it meant to me to be able to do something. And then later this week, Thursday night, in fact, I was coming back. I had gone down to the valley to do a funeral service for an old friend, and on my way home, stopped at the big gas station down there, and was filling up the tank, and I happened to look across the row of gas pumps and saw a young man who was kind of wandering from car to car with others who were filling their tanks, and it was obvious that he was clearly soliciting help, probably for gas or some kind of assistance, and I watched him slowly as he was coming my direction, and then he locked eyes with me, and he walked over, and he stopped a short distance away to keep his distance, and he said, excuse me, but he says, I'm a Marine. I just came home from a deployment, and I got home to Phoenix and found that my wife had left me and was leaving our 3-year-old daughter with me to care for. He says, I have to get back home to San Diego. He says, do you have anything you could give to help me get there? And I was moved just by that account, and then I thought to myself, I don't have any cash. I don't carry cash, so if you're thinking about robbing me at a gas station, you won't get anything. But as I finished pumping my gas, and he turned and, you know, obviously very sadly walked away, and I felt really bad until, as I was pulling out my card to pay for my tank of gas, I realized I had some money in my wallet that I had put there from a Christmas gift that someone had given me. And I realized I've got cash, and it was clear, this is what I got to do. And so I was kind of excited to pull the currency out of my pocket or out of my wallet where I tucked it away and walked over to the young man who was standing there by his car with his head down. And I said, excuse me, but I said, you know what? I found some cash and I want to give it to you. And so I handed it to him, and he looked at the money, and he looked up at me. He says, really? I said, yeah, I want you to have this. He says, I just said, you know, I want you to be able to get home with your little girl. And so he said, this is all I need. He says, this will get me home. And I said, thank you for your service. He says, I'm glad to do it. And I said, I'm glad to do it for you. Because I want to do good for all people. I mean, not every person I run into I help, but I just thought maybe this week God was preparing me for this message, and I don't know how he's speaking to you, but I want us to think about ways that we can share God's love with other people. And it doesn't have to be giving them cash out of our pocket or buying their groceries, but, you know, it might be. It's just being open to do what God leads you to do, to help a friend, maybe a neighbor. Maybe you've got an elderly neighbor who can't get out, who needs somebody to run to the store for them or do a chore for them that they can't do. Or maybe it's helping a total stranger. I mean, our church family has gotten terribly excited about caring for the least of these through Operation Blessing, and We've given out nearly 100 bags of blessing since Christmas, and there'll be more to come. But think of ways, and I've left you some space there, just to pray about what God might speak to you. And, you know, maybe it's like this week, God tapped me on the shoulder twice, and, you know, I was blessed to do it both times. And who knows what else you can do. But pray about it. Because John, as 1 John says, in 1 John 3:18, he says, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions. And you know, one of the things that crossed my mind this week, folks, is that maybe this is the opportunity for the Christian community who's gotten such a bad rap in our culture today for some reason. But it's our opportunity to show the world what real love is about and what it looks like. And so, I don't know, maybe this is the time to use this opportunity to demonstrate God's love. I think, quite frankly, it's the antidote to the virus that's running through our culture right now. So let's deploy God's power. Number two, let's demonstrate God's love. And then number three, let's use this opportunity to develop our discipline. To develop our discipline. You know, most of us complain most of the time about not having enough time to do all the things we wish we could do. You know, we always talk about, someday I'm going to get around to this, someday that, and we all dream of that someday when we'll have enough time. Well, maybe this is the time. You know, we've been given, some of us, the gift of time. This is the first time for many of us we've been told, go home and stay. How many times in our lifetime have we ever had the opportunity just of time? And maybe time to do the things that we've long procrastinated doing. Maybe it's time to sit down and read that book you haven't had a chance to read. Or maybe start an exercise program. Maybe just doing a daily or a weekly walk through your neighborhood. It's a good time and a good way to do prayer walking. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in the future as we pray for our community through this crisis. Or maybe it's we just need more time to spend with our spouse, and hey, you could actually have your own private personal marriage retreat at home. Find a good book that you can read together. Spend time together and just talk. Or maybe you've got a home project. Whatever it is, use this opportunity to develop some disciplines. This might be the greatest opportunity for spiritual growth you've ever had. This time, right now, if you'll use it. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 9, there in your notes, it says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. We need to be purpose-driven people. And boy, if there was ever a time to develop the disciplines that we need, it's now. We have a choice. We can either use this time to become a spiritual triathlete or continue being a spiritual couch potato. What's it going to be? Well, I'm hoping you'll take the opportunity to develop some disciplines, some spiritual disciplines in your life. And I put them there in your notes, and you don't even have to write them in. I put them all there. All I want you to do is think about and pray about each one. And seriously consider, at least for this time, I want to adopt these disciplines in my life. These five purpose-driven disciplines. The five disciplines and the five purposes all wed together. And the first one means I want to grow higher in my worship. You know, if there was ever a time you needed to draw closer to God, I can't think of when it'd be. Growing higher in your worship. Elevate your worship and your spirit into the presence of God. How do you do that? Well, a purpose-driven pronouncement just says, I'm going to attend the online worship each week. I'm going to be right here at the posting of the service so I can hear the music and the message. I'm going to be here every week. I'm going to meet you at 10 a.m. And in fact, I encourage our church to do the same thing unless your schedule doesn't allow you. But let's, as we would gather right here in the auditorium I'm sitting in today with empty chairs, but let's gather all over Yavapai County every Sunday morning until we meet again in this place. Let's gather every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Just commit to do that, would you? And then let's grow closer in fellowship. And you say, Pastor, how in the world are we going to grow closer in fellowship when we've been mandated to separate? Separate, but don't isolate. And what I mean by that, there are, thank goodness again for technology, there are numerous ways where you can connect with other people and other friends in the family of God, connect with, and that's the commitment I want us to consider. I'm going to connect with a friend, with one friend each week. Reach out to say, hey, and you can reach out without actually touching anybody. I mean, granted, you can go stand on their front porch or in their front yard and talk through a screen door, but you can call them. You can text them. You can email them. And you can FaceTime and Instagram and all that stuff that I don't know anything about. But connect closer in fellowship. And then there's a third discipline, and that's to grow deeper in discipleship. Get your spiritual roots down into God's Word. And this is one of the things I'm really excited about. I'm going to launch Monday what I call my daily meds. And, you know, I, like a lot of people, first thing in the morning I get up, I go to the medicine chest and I pull out all of the pill bottles and I start taking my medications for this, that, and the other thing. And so I thought, you know, every day, religiously, in fact, twice a day, I take my daily meds. And then I thought, well, what about getting into God's Word every day? And so I thought, how about a daily meditation? How about a prescription from Scripture? And so I'm going to post on Facebook starting Monday. And so you can go to our Facebook page and you've got that connection at the bottom of your notes at the end. But I'm going to post something every day that gets you into God's Word. And it might be Scripture, it might be music, but you're going to enjoy it. And I know it'll make a difference if we'll grow deeper in discipleship. There's a fourth discipline, and that's to grow stronger in service. We talked about that under point two about demonstrating love. And that's just simply deciding, you know what? I'm going to serve one person each week. And what I would just suggest is if you're out and about or whatever limited activity you can do, just say, God, I'm open to whatever and whomever I can help, however I can help them. And God will figure it out. I mean, God will answer that prayer every time. And so maybe you can make a difference by serving one person each week. And then the last is to grow wider in outreach. You know, we need to expand the circle of our reach to our community, to our neighborhood, to our world. And actually, that's one of the things I'm kind of really almost excited about by doing what we're doing. Because we can now, because we're church at home, online, we're actually going to reach hundreds and hundreds of people. We've seen from our experience and possibly even more through this experience, we're going to reach hundreds and hundreds of people every week. But in your life, in the course of your life, pray that God will help you cross paths at a social distance with one person that you can encourage. And start with encouragement. And the easiest thing to do is say, can I pray for you about something? Is there something that you'd like somebody to pray with you about? You never know how God can use that. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, so we make it our goal to please Him. And that's the bottom line. Let's just determine that we're going to do all we can do to make a difference in our community and in our world and please God. through the process. Let me close with a story about a remarkable American. He's 92 years old. His name's Jim Lovell. You might remember him if you're old enough as the NASA astronaut who piloted Apollo 8 spaceship on its orbit around the moon in 1968. It was the first spaceship to orbit the moon, and he piloted it. And then, of course, later, he piloted Apollo 13, that ill-fated flight that nearly ended in disaster. The movie's been made, and Tom Hanks played his character. And it was really a courageous and skilled pilot who got that ship back to Earth safely. But as he was being interviewed later in life, he was asked about how he learned to do what he did to get that spaceship, that damaged spaceship, back to Earth safely. And he says it really came from an experience as a Navy fighter pilot. He talked about an episode one night where in the South China Sea, he was flying his jet fighter back from a mission and was looking for the aircraft carrier to land on. And it was, of course, the middle of the night, and it was dark. And the aircraft carrier had been ordered to blackout, turned out and extinguished all of their lights. No landing lights, no other lights, reference lights. And he said what made matters worse was that his landing lights on his jet fighter went out as well. In fact, all he had was one little map light in his cockpit. And he said, as I was approaching where the aircraft carrier was supposed to be, I wondered, would I ever see it, or would I ditch into the sea? And then he said, I saw something that was almost like a miracle. He says, I looked down in the darkness of the night. He says, I looked down, and he said, I saw a effervescent green pathway on the surface of the sea. He says, I readily recognized it as the algae that gets stirred up by the rotors of the aircraft carrier as it propels itself through the sea. He says, and all of that effervescent green algae got kicked to the surface. And he says, and it became a landing lightway. He says, I landed safely. And he said, when I landed, the crewmaster came immediately and said, Jim, how did you find us? And he said, well, the good Lord knows how to turn on a light in the dark to light our way home. And friends, I want to leave you with that today. Because in a season of panic and pandemic, it's easy to live in fear. But friends, God's given us all we need: power, love, and discipline, and a light to light the way home. He's going to light the way for you through this crisis. And maybe, just maybe, you're going to be the light for someone else. I want to go out this morning with a song that says it well about the light, about the path that God has for us. It's simply called Waymaker. And He is the one who makes the way for you, for me. I'll be back after the song for a closing prayer. Listen and enjoy and be encouraged.
Working in this place, I worship. worship you. I worship you.
That's Waymaker by Mandisa. That's a song and that's a message that's going to get me through the week. I don't know about you, but I'm going to play that. Well, I'm going to play it every day. He's the Waymaker. He's the one, as she sang, he never stops working. Even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, just know he's working for your good. And he's going to make a way through this. And we're not going to stop working either. Join us next Sunday for another message, another service. We're going to lay this series out for you week at a time. It's Overcomers, Surviving and Thriving Through a Crisis. We're going to talk every week about getting through what you're going through. And in the process, we're going to literally lay out a step at a time the stages of a crisis. Every crisis has a lifespan and a story and a journey. And so we're going to talk about the stages of a crisis. And the first stage, as you might imagine, that we're going to talk about next Sunday is shock. You know, when your world just seems to turn upside down. And you know, maybe you're sailing right through this pandemic. Thank God if you are. A lot of people, this is the big crisis in their life at the moment. But maybe there's others. Maybe you've got different kinds of crises, or maybe there'll be other crises come out of this. You may have family crisis. You may have financial crisis coming. You may have health crisis. We're all challenged by this crisis, but we've got good news from God's Word. So we're going to talk about getting through what you're going through and how to be an overcomer. Don't miss a message. They're all going to be posted on the website until we figure out how to do all the live streaming stuff. But for now, check in every Sunday online and take advantage of the tools that we're making available online. We're posting, as you see there, all of the Sunday services each week, the message notes you can download there, you print them out, updates that'll come. And also, there's a share button there. Share this message. If it's encouraged you, you know somebody who could be encouraged by this. You can share from the website to your Facebook page. Just go to the website, ccfpv.com. And as I mentioned earlier, please consider giving online. Our ministry moves forward. We're not taking a time out. We're not setting out. We're just gathering in different places. But actually, we're ramping up ministry, and you're going to see it on the website. In fact, we are right now, in fact, as this pandemic settled in, we were in the process of launching into a new platform with our website. And it's going to be the same place, but it's going to have a transition in the next week or so. And there'll be some new features on the new template, the new format that you'll see. So just keep checking the website. But don't miss Facebook. If you're getting to Facebook, go to our Facebook page. It lists the address there. Check every day for the daily meds. There'll be music. There'll be scripture. There'll be ministry there for you. Places to check in the comment section. Let us know how you're doing, what's up in your world. Then there'll be other stuff. We'll keep you posted on a weekly basis. But let me just close today and thank you for sharing this hour. And we're just going to ask you every Sunday, commit this hour at 10 o'clock or any other hour if this doesn't work for you. Commit this hour for us to be together apart. And let me pray for you. Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the technology that allows me to talk to our entire church family, even though we're scattered all over the community in Yavapai County. I pray, God, that you're keeping all of your children safe and well. Lord, we know that in all things you work for good and that you're always up to something good for us. And you're the way maker, who'll lead the way, who'll guide us through it, who's always working. Even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, God, we know you're at work. And I pray you'll work this week in the hearts and lives of our people and all the others who are listening as a part of our family today. So God bless them, and God do your work through us. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Don't forget, God loves you, and so do we. And we'll see you right back here next Sunday. God bless.
When I'm in the roughest war.